Today's shir is a Masechta Gittin on Daf Peches. We will begin on Daf Pezayin Amid Beis, five lines from the bottom of the Amid, where the Gemara begins following the Mishnah. Begins the Gemara, and the Gemara is going on the first case of our Mishnah, where the Mishnah stated, Shir Mitzvah HaGet, V'Kasri B'Daf HaSheni, that if he wrote a get on two columns, that the end of the get went over to the second column. Vo'edim milmato, as the Tveris Yisrael explains, that the Edim were signed at the bottom of the second column where the entire get ended. The Mishnah stated that it is kosher. Now the Maram Shif points out that this is not a normal way to write a get on two columns, and that's why the Gemara is going to ask, maybe we should suspect that there is something wrong with this get. As the Magid Mishnah points out, that the case here is speaking about where the get was not written in front of a bezdin. There are no edim to tell us that this is in fact one get, and therefore the Gemara asks, v'leichush, let us suspect, Dilma hani train gitti havi. Maybe in fact we are speaking here about two gitten. And the edim, the signatures that we have, are not really on the get as it would appear. How could this be? Says the Gemara, v'isramile zman dekamo v'edim debasra. And it just worked out. It happened that there were really two gitten here. In other words, we had a large clough, which had two columns. On the right-hand column, there was a get, and on the left-hand column, there was a get. However, the right-hand column, the top right part, had nothing on it. It was blank. The first get began towards the middle of the right column and ended at the bottom of the right column. The second get was written at the top of the left column, and the bottom of the left column was blank. So we have two blank spaces. The right-hand corner on top of the first get, the top right-hand corner, and the bottom left-hand corner at the bottom of the second get are blank. And it lined up that this mun, meaning the date upon which the get was written, meaning the beginning of the get, of the first get, lined up with the edim that were signed at the bottom of the second get. And what he did was, he had a certain condition written at the bottom of the first get in the right-hand column, and the real edim were signed there. He cut that part off, and it just worked out, as Rashi explains, that the words on the left-hand column continued exactly from where he had cut off the first get on the right-hand column. So he cut off the edim of the bottom right-hand column of the first get. He cut off the zman and the top part of the left-hand column of the second get. And it appeared as if it's all one get. That's what the Gemara says here. Since this was not written in front of Beis Din, and it's a very unusual thing to have a get written in two columns, let's in fact be choshesh, dilma hani trei gitti havi. There were really two gitten here. Visrami, it just worked out. Visrami leizman dekamo ve'edim debasra. And the top of the right-hand get worked out to be on the same line as the edim of the left-hand get, the second get that was written on the left. And what did he do? V'gazi l'zman debasra. He cut off the top part, which includes the zman, and the top portion of the left hand of the second get. And he also cut off Edim dekama, and the witnesses that were signed at the bottom of the right-hand column of the first get. And the words just continued and worked out exactly where the words of the first get ended, which he had cut off. then the second get, which he had also cut off the top part, the words that he left for the second get continued exactly where the first get left off, and it looked like the Edom on the second get were signing as Edom of the first get, and really it's two different getten, and really the Edom of the second get did not sign on the first get. They signed on the second get, which he had cut off. Let's be cautious for that. It's speaking about a case where at the bottom of the right-hand column, there is an open space. And therefore, we are not chayish that he cut it off, because we see that nothing else was written there. And in fact, there is an empty space there. Ask the Gemara, even if there's an empty space at the bottom of the right-hand column, we could still have a chshash v'dilma zman debas from migiz gaize. As Rashi explains, he was writing the first get. He had charot in the middle, and he stopped. And on the left-hand column, there was another get that was written. Later on, he decided that he does want to divorce his wife. So what is he going to do? He cuts off the top of the second get in the left-hand column, and the words continue. The words where he cut off the left-hand get, they work out to continue exactly from the right-hand column. And again, the Edom that are signing on the left-hand column are not Edom that signed on the right-hand get. So even if there is a space at the bottom, and even if he didn't cut off the right hand get, but maybe he had charot in the middle, and later when he decided to divorce his wife, he used the edim of the second get on the left hand column, from which he had cut off the top part of the left hand get. So the Gemara says, Kidama Rababa Marav, just like you said before in the name of Rababa, in the name of Rav, Kishyesh Revach Lamata, that how do we know that he didn't cut off anything at the bottom of the right hand column? Because there's a space there. As we turn to Daf Pei Chesamad Aleph, Hachanami, Kishyesh Revach Mamaila, speaking about that there was a space on top of the left hand column. And therefore, we don't have to be choshesh that anything was written there. There's an empty space. And in fact, he was continuing in the left-hand column the same get that he had begun writing on the right-hand column. Ask the Gemara. We still have a shash. V'dilma imluche imlich v'kosav. Maybe he was writing on the right-hand column. And he stopped there, and he decided that he's not going to divorce his wife. And he told the Sofer to stop writing the get, as the Ramban explains. And later on, he decided that he does want to divorce his wife. He changed his mind. So he's mitzaved the Sofer, continue the get on the left-hand column. But now we have a problem, because he's giving a tzivri to a Sofer to write only half a get. He can't give a tzivri to write only half a get. A half a get is possible. So maybe there's still a problem. So the Gemara answers, the cause of hare at mulmata umateras mulmala, that in a get it is written, hare at muteras choladam, that through this get you become permitted to everyone in the world to marry them. And what he did was that he wrote at the bottom of the right-hand column the words hare at, that you, and then he stopped. And then on the top of the left-hand column, he wrote, Muteras Echolotim, you are permitted. He wrote the words permitted to every person. So therefore, we're not choshesh that he had charotim, because if he had charot, he changed his mind. As Rashi explains, he wouldn't have changed his mind in the middle of the phrase. He would have changed his mind at the end of the phrase. Ask the Gemara of Adil Misramile. Maybe, in fact, he did change his mind in the middle of the phrase. The Gemara says, Kuli hai loy chashinen. That's already such a remote possibility that we are not chayish that this, in fact, happened. Rav Ashi gives a completely different teretz. The Yediyah Bei Mesechta de Megilta. As Rashi explains, the way they used to write the get was that they took a cloth and they attached stones to it to stretch it out. And after it was stretched out, they would take an instrument and they would scrape away to make it easier to write on this cloth. And on the edges of the cloth, it was dark and it was thicker. Most of the middle away from the edges of the cloth were thinner, it had been scraped away, and it was more of a whitish color instead of a darker color. So here, where you could see on the perimeter of the get that it was a dark color and it was thick, so it was recognizable that there was nothing cut off. So in fact, according to Rav Ashi, we say that he wrote till the bottom. And that's why, as Rashi explains, we don't have the kasha that maybe he had charata, because the chashash of him having charata is only when we find an empty space. That the Gemara only asked the kasha on the second line, v'dim imluchi imlech, because of that was only if there's a revach, if there's a space, then we say maybe he stopped in the middle, he had charata. And then later on he continued. However, in a case where there is no space, where it goes to the bottom, and then it continues all the way from the top, there we're not choshish ever that he had charata. That's a regular way to write a get. One word follows the other, one line follows the other. You get to the bottom, you start from the top. It's only when you have a space that you're worried maybe he had charata, and after he had charata, he changed his mind again, and he decided to divorce his wife, and then he continued at the top of the other column. Leaving a space, that's possible if there's a space. But if there's no space, we're not worried about him, luchi imlach. The only chashash is maybe it was cut off. But here, where it's a dark parameter and it's thick, it's recognizable that he wrote, in fact, to the bottom of the get, and therefore you don't have to worry that he had cut off and there was really two gittin here. And therefore, the Mishnah says that the get is kosher. Continues the Gemara to explain the next part of the Mishnah. If Adam signed at the top of the daf, or they signed on the side, the Mishnah continues, the halach is, it's possible. It's only when the Adam sign underneath the text of the get. Ask the Gemara, any, is this so? Is it in fact possible? Rav signed on a get from the side, and it was kosher. The Gemara answers, Hosom b'shigagoy klape ksav. There it's speaking about, even though he signed on the side, but the top roof of the letters of the chasimos were towards the ksav of the get, indicating that the Adam were signing and validating the get. Ask the Gemara, in other words, the Gemara is saying it's only possible when it would be inverted, when the feet of the signatures, when the bottom of the signatures would be towards the writing of the get, then we would be choshesh that perhaps on the side there was another get written, and those Adim were signing at the bottom of a different get that had been cut off. And that's why it's possible. However, if the top of the signatures are towards this get, then it indicates that they are chasmaning, they are signing on this get, and it's kosher. Al-Hodik Tani, that which we learned in the Mishnah. Hikiv Rosh Hashelzeh, B'tzad Rosh Hashelzeh, if he attached the head of one get to the head of the other get, in other words, the top of one get has the back towards the other get, they're like lying from one head behind another head, they're going in different directions, head to head, vo'edim b'emtza, and edim are signed in the middle, shneim sum, they're both posel. Now, according to what you're saying, v'lechse haimenayu klapiksav v'liskasher, why are they both posel? If the Gemara thinks now that the Adam are signing, in this case in the Mishnah, right in between the two Gittin, and the writing is going in the same direction as one of the Gittin, so let's see which get the writing is going the same direction. The one that the writing is going in the same direction, and the head, the top of the signatures are underneath that get, so that get will be kosher. You said a klal that whenever the roof of the signature is toward a get, it's kosher. So why is the din that both getten in this case are posel? The Gemara answers, it's not speaking about that the signatures are written the same way as the get, but they're perpendicular to the get. Hasam de ramele meibra, they are like a bolt, just like when we have a bolt in a door between the two doorposts, the two mezuzos. So too, their signatures were perpendicular to the gittin, and therefore the heads, the top, the roof of the signatures are not towards either of the two gittin. That's why they're both puzzle. Ask the Gemara Hachi, if that's so, say for the end of the Mishnah, Diktani, where we learned, Roish Yishol Zeh, Betzat Soif Yishol Zeh, if one get ended, and the head of the next get is lying right after the end of the first get, Vo'edim, Bemtz, and the Edim are in the middle, Esher Edim Nikorim B'Soifoi, the get where we see that the Edim could be read. Following that get, we see that their signatures are attached to that get. Esher Edim Nikorim B'Soifoi, kosher, is kosher. V'i, the Rami Kevri, if the case of the Mishnah is that it's like a bolt, it's perpendicular to the gittin. Lav Bahari Hai Mikri, V'lav Bahari Hai Mikri, then those signatures are not read with one get, nor are they read with another get, and therefore they should both be puzzle. Ella the Gemara goes away now from its entire approach. It has nothing to do with the head or the feet of the signatures. Possibly in all cases that would be possible. But what is the reason why when Rav signed on the side it was kosher? Because he wasn't signing on a get. Bediski havichosim. He was signing on a hazmona, on a summons. He wasn't signing as an aid. He wasn't testifying through his signature. And therefore, on a summons, on a hazmona to bring the balidinim to litigate in front of the bezdin, he didn't mind if he wrote it on the side because he wasn't saying any kind of testimony. That is the only case where the edim on the side will in fact be kosher. Continues the Gemara to explain the next part of the Mishnah. Get Sheksava Yivris, the written part of the get is in Lashon Kodesh, and the signatures are in Greek, or the opposite, the get was written in Greek, and the signatures are in Lashon Kodesh, the Mishnah said it's kosher. And then the Mishnah continued to say, Ksav Seifer Ve'ed Kosher, if we have the writing of the Seifer in the get, and one witness, that would validate the get. It's a kosher get. Rabbi Yirmiyah said, Chasam Seifer Shaninu. In fact, the two great Gedolim, the Chasam Seifer and the Ksav Seifer, they took their names of their Sforim from these words in the Gemara that we have just learned. So Rabbi Yirmiyah says, what is the Pshat in our Gemara? What does Chasam Seifer mean in our Gemara? Rabbi Yirmiyah says that Ksav Seifer would not be good. If we could only tell the writing of the Seifer, that's not a kosher signature. There you only have an Eid Echad signing. The writing, the handwriting of the one who wrote the get is not able to be considered like a second signature. The only thing that could be considered a second signature is if the one who wrote the get signs as well. Chasam Seifer Shaninu. Ksav Seifer would not be good. Only Chasam Seifer. And Rashi explains that what's Rabbi Yirmiyah trying to say? That we're not Choshesh. That maybe the Baal made a Shliach. And he sent two Shlichim and he said to the two Shlichim, I want you to go to that Seifer and tell him to write the get. But I want you to go to two other Edim that they should sign. And maybe we should be Choshesh that the Shlichim were worried about embarrassing the Seifer, that apparently the Seifer signature is not good, that the one who's writing the get doesn't trust the Seifer and he doesn't let him be an aid. And maybe they went over to the Seifer and they say, you be one of the Edim, and the Baal never told the Seifer to be an aid. Kamash Malan, that Chasam Seifer, that if the Seifer in fact signed, he is a valid aid, and we're not Choshesh that the Shlichim changed the will of the one who was right, who gave authority to write the get. Amar Rav Chisda, said Rav Chisda, Hamani Rabbi Yosi, who is this going like? Chasam Seifer, who is it going like? It's going according to Rabbi Yosi, because we have a machlokes between Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Meir. As Rashi brings down, whether Mili is Memser in L'Shliach or not, can you give over to a Shliach words, meaning that he should go and tell the cipher to write the get, or he should tell the cipher to sign the get. Can a shliach give over those words or not? So Rab Meir is of the opinion that mili mimsrin l'shliach, you could give over those instructions to a shliach. And therefore, according to Rab Meir, a cipher cannot sign on the get. Chassam cipher would be possible. Why? Because we could have a whole problem coming out of it, as we just said, that maybe the shliach tells the cipher to sign something which the Baal did not tell him to do. However, if I go like Rav Yossi, Homani Rav Yossi, this is going according to Rav Yossi, who says, Mili loy mimsrin l'shliach, that these instructions cannot be given over to a shliach. The only way a cipher can sign on a get, the only way a cipher can write a get or someone can sign on a get is if the Baal himself directly tells them. Memele, there's no chshash, this whole chshash that we said that maybe a shliach was sent and he told the cipher to sign it and the Baal never told the cipher to sign it is not possible, because the only one who can give authority to write a get or to sign a get is the Baal himself. He can't give that over to a shliach. So memela, when we see a signature of the cipher himself, we know that the Baal told him directly, not through a shliach, to do it, and therefore we're not worried about any problem coming out of this, and therefore the cipher is valid to sign on a get. So Rabbi Yirmi is saying that it is... our mission is not Ksav Sofer. Ksav Sofer would not be good, but rather it is the signature of the cipher, not merely his handwriting in the get. And it's going like Rabbi Yossi, who says that Mili is like Mimsri L'Shliach, that the Baal himself would have to tell the cipher and the Edom to write the get and to sign the get. Says the Gemara, he ksubas chasanim. There was a ksuba of a chasan. The asil came to Rabbi Avuah. Came in front of Rabbi Avuah. The haviyadil leila tufsa, that Rabbi Avuah knew the text. He knew the handwriting of the cipher. Ulechsimis yada dechad sad, and he knew the signature of one aid, but he did not recognize the signature of the other aid. Savarlach shura, he thought that based on our Mishnah, ksav sofer ve'aid kosher, that that enough would make it kosher, because he was able to recognize the signature of the cipher, the handwriting of the cipher, and one signature. Omlei Rabbi Yirmiya. Rabbi Yirmiya said, chasam sofer sheninu, as Rabbi Yirmiya said before, that we're not goyrus in our Mishnah ksav sofer, but rather chasam sofer. It has to be the signature of the cipher, but if it's only the handwriting of the cipher in the get, that's not enough to make it a kosher get. And the same thing here by the ksuba, it would not be enough to make it a kosher ksuba, since you don't recognize the signature of the second eight. The Mishnah continued and said, kosov chani chosai, if he wrote in the get the surname of the man, v'chani chosa, and her surname, and not her first name, but rather her last name, kosher, that is kosher. Tana Rabbanan, chani chosa, is if somebody wrote the surname of prior generations. For example, somebody wrote Mordechai ben Kish, even though Kish was the great-grandfather of Mordechai, and he wrote that, begitten ad yudairis, it is acceptable if he goes back 10 generations. More than 10 generations, so we say that that surname it has been forgotten, but up to 10 generations, the family is still using that surname from 10 generations ago. Rav Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Gimel Dairis Kosher. If he did it up to 3 generations, it's kosher, and we do not say that there has been a change in the man's name or in the woman's name, but rather that is a valid name for the man or the woman up till 3 generations. Mekam ve'elch posel, but more than 3 generations posel. Keman az lahod amar Rav Chanina, according to who is it going, that which Rav Chanina learned, kosav chanichas avis begitnat gimel doiris, that it's kosher. If you wrote the surname of the forefathers in Gittin up to 3 generations, it is valid, and it doesn't say 10 generations, only 3 generations. Keman grib shimel lozer, that's going like grib shimel lozer. And not like the first shita that set up to 10 generations. Amar Rav Huna, Mikra, where do we find that after 3 generations it's already forgotten the surname and you can't use it? As the pasuk says, Ki soilid bonim, when you will have children, ubnei bonim, and grandchildren, v'noishantem, and you will become aged and you'll become complacent in the land, the Pasha Pshat and the Pasuk is, and that will lead you to serve Avodah Zarah. And the Rabbi Yishlam says, as we're going to learn in the Gemara soon on this Amud, that this will cause Hashem to chase you out of Eretz Yisrael. But meanwhile, we see that after three generations, after B'nai Banim, after a person's grandchildren, then already the surname becomes aged, and the fourth generation already has no shaychus, is not remembered by the name of the great-grandparent. Om Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Lechor v'Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael was not destroyed. Until seven Batei Dinim served Avodah Zarah. Rashi explains that seven Batei Dinim means seven Mishpachai Shel Melachim Yimalchi Yisrael, seven houses of the kings of the Malchi Yisrael. And Rashi says that we're not counting the Malchi Yehuda because they were at the same time as the Malchi Yisrael who served Avodah Zarah. So that's considered like one Bezdin. And when we speak about one Bezdin, one king's family, it includes him and his son and his grandson and all the kings that came out of him. So really there's more than seven generations here. But we're including many generations in each of the seven generations. We're also not counting, says Rashi, Shalom ben Yavish and Zechariah, because their melucha lasted less than 1 year, and the same with Zimri. What about Omri, the father of Achav? He's called as part of the Bezdin of Achav, because since Achav, says Rashi on the first wide line, Mivnesha Achav Hirshia, Lasos Yoiser, Nikra Kilkal Shmoi, that he did more evil than his father Omri, that's why Omri is included in the Rishus, in the sins of his son Achav. And the final one that's counted is Hoshea ben Allah. And Rashi says that was the Golus of Aser Shashvatim. And even though it says here that Eretz Yisrael was Chorav, like Chorav Eretz Yisrael, from the time that the Aser Shashvatim went into Golus, that's considered the Churban of Eretz Yisrael. Let's go back to the Gemara. Am Rabbi Yishua ben Levi, Lechorv Eretz Yisrael, Atcher Avdu Baal, Zayin Bat Eitinim Avarizar, Ve'elahen. These are the seven families. Yeravim ben Nevat, Ubasher ben Achya, Ve'achav ben Omri, Ve'yeyu ben Nimshi, Upikeach ben Remalyo, Umenachem ben Gadi, and the Marsha says you switch these two around, because in fact, Menachem ben Gadi was before Pekach ben Remalyo, Ve'hoysheya Bar Ola, and I share Bar Ola because he is the one where they went, where the Aseret Shvatim went into Golus. Shenemar, where do we see that seven generations can cause this? Shenemar, the Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, Lolo Yoledes Hashiva, the one who gave birth to seven is desolate. Nafcha Nafsha, her soul is miserable. Bo Hashim Shaboy Joimam, that the sun set while it was still day, before its time. It is ashamed and embarrassed. Omer of Ami, Mikra, where do we find that seven generations will cause Klal Yisrael to be punished and go into Golus and be punished for serving Avodah Zarah? The Pasuk says, Ki soilid bonim upnei bonim. The bottom Tosfos on the Amud, Divrei Maskil Mikra says, how do we learn it from this Pasuk? Because Kisoilet Chad, that's one generation. Chador, Bonim, Trey. Kisoilet Bonim, Bonim is another two, that's three. Treydor, that's three. Then it says Ubnei Bonim. So Ubnei Treydor is another two, is five. Ubnei, and Bonim is Treydor, Hare Zayins. You have seven altogether. Kisoilet is one. Bonim is another two is three. Ubnei is another two is five. Bonim, another two is seven. If you look in the Masoret Hashas, Ois Beis, he says that in the Yalkut, they learn it differently. Bonim train, Bnei Bonim train, and then you have four already, and then from each of the next three words, when they shantem, ishchatem, vasisem, harei kan shiva, then we have a total of seven. And what does the Pasuk say immediately after that Pasuk? Ha'idoisi b'chem ha'yoyim, es ha'shamayim v'soretz, ka'vei ta'vei dun maher me'al oretz. In other words, if you have children and grandchildren, you get aged in the land, you get complacent. And the Pasuk says, Vishchatom Vasisim Pesel Tmunas Kov Vasisim Rabbe Ein Hashem Elokech Lachisoi, I testify by heaven and earth that you will get quickly, Maher, quickly, you will be destroyed from the land. Continues the Gemara, Amalei Rav Kana Rav Asi Rav, Ksiv Bei Bei Shem Enol, it says Bei Bei Shem Enol, Vayas Rabbe Ein Hashem, he did evil in the eyes of Hashem. Rak loike Malchi Yisrael. He didn't do as bad as the other Malchi Yisrael. So we have a tremendous question on this. Uksiv, Olav Shalman Nasar, that the king came against him and sent him into Golis, punished him, sent Aseret Shvatim into Golis. If he wasn't as bad as the other kings of Yisrael, so why does he, what's the reason that he gets the punishment? Amar Lahu, so he answered, Oisim Pardesioi, says Rashi Shoimrim, those guards, Shehoshiv Ravim, that Yeravim Avot set up, Ala Drachim on the pathways, Kadesh Layal Yisrael Regal, that Klal Yisrael shouldn't go and be Ola Regal to serve a Kaddish Baruch Hu, boy, Shea Bitlan. So Shea came, he was better, and he took away those Shoimrim. And so you would have thought that Klal Yisrael would go up to Yerushalayim to the base of Migdash to be Oyel Regel. The Aval became Oyel Yisrael Regel. And even though the Shem were taken away, Klal Yisrael did not go to Oyel Regel. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, said Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ois and Shem those years, Shel Oyel Yisrael Regel, Yael Chu B'Shevi, if they didn't go up to the Regel, let him go earlier, let me bring the punishment in the days of Hoshea ben Olah, because Klal Yisrael didn't take advantage of the fact there were no Shomrim to hold them back, let them go into captivity. Omer of Chizda, Omer Marok, Omer Lo, and some say Omer of Chizda, Omer of Yirmiya, Dorish Marei, Mamay Dichsiv, Vayishkar Hashem Ola Rova Yivyeh Oleinu, Hashem hastened the evil, and he brought it to us. Ki Tzadik Hashem Ola Kenu, because Hashem is a Tzadik. And the question is obvious. Mishum the Tzadik Hashem Ola Kenu, because Hashem is a Tzadik, Vayishkar Hashem Ola Rova Yivyeh Oleinu, Hashem hastened the evil to bring it upon us. What's the pshat in that? How is he showing that he's a Tzadik by hastening the evil upon us? Elot, stuck us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. Hashem did a great, righteous, kind deed, in a sense, with Klal Yisrael. Why? Even though he hastened the Golus. Shehigla Golus, Tzidkiyo, Vadayin Golus, Yechonya Kayemes. Golus, Yechonya, they went out. Yechonya was sent to exile. Rashi brings down 11 years before the Melech Tzidkiyo was. And Yechonya took with him, as we're soon going to see, 1,000 of the greatest Talmidei Chacham of that door. And when it came to time for Golus Tzidkiyo, Hashem didn't wait. He hastened Golus Tzidkiyo so that the people, the regular people who left with Tzidkiyo into Golus, would be able to come to Bavel, and they would still be able to learn from the great Talmidei Chacham that were still in Bavel. Had Hashem waited with the Golus, they would have not met up with those great Talmidei Chacham. Those Talmidei Chacham would have died out, and they wouldn't have been able to learn Torah from these great Talmidei Chacham. Dichsiv bei Golus Yechonya, it says by Golus Yechonya, Hachorish Ram Azgir, the Elef, who went with Yechonya, the craftsmen and the gatekeepers, 1,000. And Chazal understand that this is a euphemism for the great Talmidei Chachamim. Chorosh is from the word cheresh, deafening, shebishosh, apoyschin. When they open up the discussion on an inyan, nasu akol cheresh, and everybody becomes like a deaf, and everybody is quiet and listening to what these great Talmidei Chacham have to say. And what does mazgir mean? It means kivin shesoigrin. Once they close an inyan, shuvena and apoyschin, nobody has the audacity to open it up. It's a closed, shut case. The Talmidei Chacham have paskin. Kama, how many of these great Talmidei Chacham were there? Elef. So that was the tztaka that Hashem did, that he hastened the Golus of Tzidkiyo. Ulo Amar, Shehigdim Shtei Shonim Luvenoi Shantem. The Pasuk says, Kisoyel Ed Bonim, Ubnei Bonim, Venoi Shantem Boretz. Vishchat v'asisim pesel tmunas koil v'asisim rabbi neishem lekech lechisoi haydois v'chama yom yishram esoretz ki aveit aveit maher me'aloretz. You will quickly get sent into Golas from Eretz Yisrael. You'll be destroyed. So Klal Yisrael, had Hashem not hastened the Gula, as Rashi explains, they would have been there 852 years from the time that they entered Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, and they would have got destroyed. So what did Hashem do? He sent them 2 years before that they shouldn't get the punishment of Avei Tavedu Maher, that quickly you will be destroyed. Chas Shom, they would have stayed there another 2 years. They would have been destroyed for serving Avodah Zarah. Taisus at the top of Amud Beis asked the question, where do we find that they were even Avodah Zarah for 850 years? Taisus answers on the fourth line of Taisus that when they came into Eretz Yisrael, they were already brought with them Pesel Micha. So it was already considered that they started serving Avodah Zarah from the time that they entered into Eretz Yisrael. Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov Shema Mina, we see from this whole limud and from the pasuk that Mehera de Mori Alma, when Hashem says, I'm going to do something quick, Tamne Meya V'chamshin V'tartehu, it's 852 years, because Hashem said the gematria of the word Vidnoishantim, if you count it out, Vav Nun Vav Shin Nun Tof Mem, equals 852, and that's considered Avoy Tavedun Maher. So we see when Hashem says, I'll do something quickly, it means within 852 years, Klal Yisrael Hashem could have been destroyed for serving Avodah Zarah. Hashem did a chesed. He was Vayishkar Hashem al Ra. He hastened the Ra. They should leave before 852 so they would not be totally destroyed. The Pnei Yeshua says that Be'emes, this is a smachta, and he says that really, there's a numerical cheshbon to the number of 852, and that has to do with the fact that a day in the eyes of Hashem is yom echad beinecha, elef yomim beinecha ki yom esmol. 1,000 years are like one day, and really, he brings that it's 930 years. Not 1,000 years, because Adam Arishan, on the day that you lead from the Eitz Hadas, Mois Tomus, the Pshat is because Adam was supposed to live 1,000 years. He gave up 70 years to David HaMelech, so he lived only 930 years. Had he not eaten from the Eitz Hadas, he would have lived forever. But since he ate, he was Nifter after 930 years. So the real day of Hashem, he brings from the Midrashim, is the 1,000 of Adam Arishan minus the 70 that he gave to Adam, to David HaMelech, is 930. And he brings from the Midrashim that just like Uvo HaShemesh by Yaakov, the sun set, it set 2 hours earlier than it was supposed to. So the same thing, Vinoishanta means that the sun is setting for Klal Yisrael 2 hours before a day of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if 930 years is a day of HaKadosh Baruch Hu divided by 24 hours, that equals 38.75. Rounded off is 39. So it comes out that the hour of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is 39 years. And if you times that by 2, that is 78 years. If you take the 930, which we said was the real day of HaKadosh Baruch Hu of 24 hours, equals 930 years, and you minus 2 hours, which equals 78, 930 minus 78 is 852. The Pnei Yeshua says that even though I found many years later that someone else preceded me with this, but since I had said it over many, many times without having seen it said by anybody else, I'm going to say it's my muzzle that I should be the one to have this beautiful thought attributed to myself. And so the Pnei Yeshua says it in his own name, that that's the gematria of Vinoishantem, 852, and Hashem did us a great chesed that he let us go into Golus 2 years before that, chas v'shalom, otherwise we would have come to Avoy Tovedun Maher. Continues the Mishnah, get me'usa b'Yisrael kosher, a forced get If it was done by a Beis Din of Yisrael, it is kosher. We are speaking here where it was done kedin, as the Gemara will explain, which means that it is a case where we paskin yoytzi v'yitin ksuba, that he should give her a get and give her a ksuba, or in a case where she is prohibited on him and he is supposed to divorce her. So if there was force used, the get is kosher. But if a court of Gentiles on their own volition, they force this get, then the get would be pasul. She would not be able to use this get to marry anyone else. And concerning a Gentile court, there is a way that a Gentile court could be used and the get would be kosher. If the Gentile court hits the husband, and they say to him, do what the Jews tell you to do. In other words, we are merely acting as a stick of the Jewish court. You're not listening to what the Jewish court is telling you. We are like their stick forcing you to do it. Then the get would be kosher. The word here is taken out by the marshal, the kosher, but that is in fact a din, that in that case it would be a get kosher, because the power of the force is coming from the Beis Din Yisrael. They're just using the goyim as a stick to enforce what their psak was. However, if the Gentile Beis Din is doing it on their own volition, not as a stick of the Beis Din Yisrael, then in fact it would be a pasul get. There is here a famous Rambam in Perek Beis of Hilchos Gerushin Halacha Chaf, where the Rambam asks, why in fact should it be a good get in the cases where the Mishnah said it's kosher? He's forced, he's an onus to do it. Says the Rambam, Vizel Ishoine, She'ain Oimrim Onus Alamisha Nechlatz Venitchak Lasses Dover She'ain Abachuyev Boimanatoira. Only when someone is forced to do something that he's not obligated to do from the Torah, Kagon, Mishahuka Achemachara Achenasin, he was hit until he sold the property to someone else who was forcing him, or he gave a present to someone who was forcing him to give a present, then it's not good. But someone who was overpowered by his own evil inclination to destroy a mitzvah, or to do an avera, vahuka, and he was hit by Beis Din, ad she'osa Dover Shechayv La Soisei, until he did that which he was obligated to do. Oyachin Srachik Midover Ha'osr La Soisei, or by being forced, he went away from something prohibited that he was not allowed to do. Ein Ze Onis Mimenu Elahu Onis Atzmoi. He was the one who was forcing himself, Bedata Hara, Lefikach, Ze She'ena Reitza Lagarish. This person who doesn't want to divorce his wife, when he's supposed to, according to the Din HaTorah, to divorce his wife, Ma'achar Shehu Roitza Liyos Mi'Yisrael, he really wants to be part of the Jewish people. V'Roitza Hu Lasses Kol HaMitzvahs U'Lisrachik Min Averis. His real inside, his essence, he wants to do mitzvahs and to go away from Averis. What is preventing him from doing that? V'Yitzrei Hu Shetakvoi. It is his Yetzirah that is forcing him not to do what is right. V'Kivin Shehuka Achatoshesh Yitzrei. And once he was hit, until his Yetzirah got weakened, V'Omer Rotzani, and finally he says, yes, I want to do it, for Goresh Lutzani. It's considered that he gave this divorce, Beratzin, because his inner soul really wants to be a proper Jew and to do what's right, and the hitting just takes away the onus which is caused by the pressure of the Yetzer Hara. Begins the Gemara. Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, explaining our Mishnah, Get Hamosu Yisrael Kedin Kosher. If Beis Din used force when it was called for, Kedin, then the din, as we explained, when she is usher to him, or when he's mechuyev to be mitzvah here to give her ksuba, so forced by a Jewish court, the get is kosher. She's allowed to marry with a get, with that get. Shaloi kedin. However, if the Jewish court forced him when there was no halachic imperative that he should in fact divorce his wife, then the din is possible. The get is cannot be used for her to marry anyone else. However, upoisel. But there is a reyach haget, as Rashi explains. There is a smell of a get here, and concerning being married to a kohen, she's not allowed to be married with this get to a kohen, although she can't use the get to marry anybody else, but it does prohibit her from marrying a kohen. Let's say a Gentile court forced him to give a get. So if it was kedin, if they were paskening like the Jewish court, posel, it's still posel. However, upoisel, it has a reich haget on it, and she will not be able to marry a kohen. What happens if it's a Gentile court that's using for shaloi kedin, when there is no halachic imperative for this get to be in effect? Then we paskin that afilu reyach haget ein boy. It doesn't even have a smell of a get, and she's allowed to marry a kohen. This get is worthless. So the Gemara now asks, as Rashi explains, on the third din that we learned. We learned by the Chavim Kedin, Pasulu Paisul, Manavshach. We have to understand, either way, there's a problem here. If Gentiles have the power of force, as a Jewish court would have, then it's Kishuri Nami Leskasher. Why, in fact, were Chazal Geyser that this should be a Pasul Get? Why is it not a Get Kosher, just like a Jewish court that would use force when it's Kedin? And Elav Bnei Asuyaninu, if you're telling me that the Gentile court has no power of using force, then why is there a Reicha get? Why is the halacha that she cannot marry a Kayan? Mifsal Lo Livsal. Rav Misharsha, so Rav Misharsha explained it as follows. Dvar Torah, get Mu'usa, Ba'ud Chavim Kosher. That in fact, a Gentile court does have power, according to Rav Misharsha, of using force. So really, Alpidin, it would be kosher. Umatam Omru possible. So why, in fact, did the Chazal make a gzera that it is possible? Shaloi tehei kol achas v'achas hoileches v'toy la'atzma ba'ov dekechavim. So that every Jewish woman shouldn't go, and she will attach herself to a strong, physically strong or powerful person, because any way of force, whether it's through brute physical power, or whether it's through political power, or whatever method there is to force someone to give a get, so she would attach herself to a strong, powerful Gentile. And mafkas atzma miyad baal, if she wanted to get a get, all she would have to do to remove herself from under her husband would be, even when it was shaloi kedin, when it was not halachically, there was no halachic imperative of her having a get. Shaloi kedin, she would use this ploy in order to get herself away from her husband. So the Rush explains, therefore, even when it was kedin, when it was mandated according to the Torah that a get should be given here, they were gozer kedin because of shaloi kedin. And therefore, the Rav Misharsha says that even when a goy uses force kedin, the get is possible. Ask the Gemara, Yehochi, why do we say shaloi kedin? Afilu reicha get ein boy. What is the fourth case that we said by a goy when they use force, shaloi kedin? And there the halacha was that there's not even a reich get, and she is not prohibited to marry a kohen, as the Bach now says the next three words, v'nehevi, and here's the Bach, kishaloi kedin be Yisrael. Why doesn't a goy, who you're telling me, Rav Misharsha, that he, a goyish court has the same power of using force as a Jewish court, so we're just machmer to say that the get is possible, but as far as having reyach a get, even if it was shalaykadin, what's the halacha by a Jewish court shalaykadin? We say that although the get's possible, but upaisel, it does not allow her to marry a kohen. It has a reyach a get. So if a goy be'etzem has power, they can use force. So then in this halacha, they should have the same as, we should be machmer, they should have the same din as a Jewish court, that although the get's possible, but upaisel, it should have reyach a get. And it should be make her prohibited to marry a kohen. So umifsel nami lifsel. So why is the halacha not that? Why don't we say the halacha is that she should be also to marry a kohen? So the Gemara concludes elahadra misharsha bedusi. This would Ramisharsha said that a goy has, a goyish court has power to force, just like a Jewish court is fiction. In other places in Shas, it uses the word berusahi, from the word bra, like a brisa is outside of the realm of Mishnah, so berusa would mean it is outside of the normative halacha, meaning that he made a mistake, but it's a nice way of saying that what Rav Misharsha said is incorrect. So now the Gemara wants to know, in fact, how do we answer our original kasha? You're telling me now that Rav Misharsha is wrong and a goy does not have power. If a goy does not have power, so why do we say that there is reyach haget in the third case where the goyish court used force kedin? We say that it's possible baru poisel. Why should it possible to a kohen? If they have no power or force, so this get is totally meaningless. It should not even answer to a kohen. There should be no reyach haget. So the Gemara explains, what time am I? Kedin, bekedin di Yisrael michlev. If a goy does it kedin, when it's mandated, there is a halach imperative that there should be a get over here. So if we're going to say that there's no reyach a get in that case, then people will say when a Jewish court uses force by din, that there's also no reyach a get. So because of that, the Chachamim said that a goyish court that uses force when it's kedin, since it could be mixed up with a Jewish court using kedin, that there is reyach haget and it possibles her to marry a kite. However, shaloi kedin, when a goyish court uses force when it's not mandated by the Torah, so shaloi kedin bekedin Yisrael loy michlev. You're not going to make a mistake to say when a goy did shaloi kedin that will confuse it when a Jewish court made kedin. So Rashi asks, but why don't we make a different gzera? Because the halacha is that a shaloi kedin by a Yisrael, that was the second halacha that we learned, that a shaloi kedin by Yisrael is possible, but it still possibles a koyin, because it's reyach haget. So, and what, that was a gzeira because of kedin. So why don't we make now another gzeira of shaloi kedin goy, because of shaloi kedin Yisrael? So Rashi answers that we have a rule that we don't make a gzeira l'gzeira. And since shaloi kedin by Yisrael is itself a gzeira because of kedin by Yisrael, so therefore, although you're right, a shaloi kedin of a goy could be confused with shaloi kedin of Yisrael, but that would make it a gzeira l'gzeira. A gzeira l'gzeira we don't say, and therefore the halacha is by a goy shakort shaloi kedin, that it's possible and it does not possible her to a kohen. It's only by a goyish court kedin or by a Jewish court shaloi kedin where it will be usher, because that could be confused because of kedin Yisrael, and therefore in those three cases the halach is that she is usher to marry a kohen. The only case where it's a kosher get completely is if it's a Jewish court that uses force where it's mandated according to the Torah that there should be a get here. And the reason it works, as we explained from the Rambam in Hilchas Gerushin. Continues the Gemara, Abaye Ashechel, Rabbi Yosef. Abaye found Rabbi Yosef, the Yosef that he was sitting. V'kama asa gitti, he was using force by gittin. Now, Rabbi Yosef lived in Bavel. So Abaye had a question, how could Rabbi Yosef use force in Bavel? Amalev, anan hajoitis anan. We are hajoitis, as Rashi explains. It's only someone who's a mumcha that could use force. And we learned this, as Rashi, from Elohim, that Dayanim are called with the name of Elohim, which means they're smuchen, which means that they have smicha ish mipiyish from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu gave, as we'll soon see, to the Shivim Zakenim, he gave them power to adjudicate cases, and then their Talmidim and their Talmidim's Talmidim, there's a Mesorah of smicha ish mipiyish. But we did not receive that smicha here in Bavel, as Rashi says, ein smicha b'chutz l'aretz. So therefore, how can you, in fact, give a get through force? You're a hedget, and therefore a hedget has no power. Only someone who's a musmach, who has smicha generation after generation from Moshe Rabbeinu. V'tanya, and I will prove to you that a hedget cannot use force by giving a get. We learned in a braisa. Hoyer Reb Tarfon Omer. Reb Tarfon said, "Kol makom shatu mitzi igur yishal av chavim." Wherever you find groups of talmidei chum gathered together, and they want to paskin, they want to adjudicate a case. Afal pishe dinem kedine Yisrael. Even though their din will be exactly the same as what a Jewish court would have paskined, iator rishoy lizakiglem. You're not allowed to submit your case to the Gentile court. Shenamar, because it says in a pasuk, ve'elam mishpatim asher tasum lufneiem, at the beginning of parsha mishpatim. These are the laws that you should place in front of them. And from that we learn out, lifnehem, in front of them, we'll soon see who the them is, lifnehem, v'loy lifnehem, but not in front of a Gentile court, davar acher, lifnehem, v'loy lifnehem, hadyoytis, that you should do it in front of them, and not in front of hadyoytis. Now, who is the lifnehem? So Rashi says, this refers to the Shivim Zakenim, that went with Moshe when he went up to Har Sinai. This is Kaida Matan Torah. And Rashi points out that even though this Parsha is written at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, that the Zakenim went up, and it seems that it was done after Matan Torah, but in fact that this preceded Matan Torah, which is written in the Parsha before, in Parshas Yisroi. We have a rule, Ein Mugdam Mumuchar BaTorah. There's no, not necessarily a sequence. And this is an example. Here, the Parsha that is written at the end of Parsha Mishpatim really preceded Matan Torah, which is written in the Parsha before, in Parshas Yisroi. But Rashi says that when the Torah starts out in Parsha Mishpatim, Ve'elam Mishpatim Shetasim Lefneim, who is it referring to those Shivim Zakenim that are going to be mentioned at the end of Parshas Mishpatim. Toisus here, Divrei Maaseh Lefneim, disagrees, and Toisus says that it's referring to the word Elohim that we find often in Parshas Mishpatim. Either way, it refers to a Jewish court, and that's why the Gemara learns out, Lefneim means a Jewish court and not a Gentile court, and also Lefneim, and they were musmachim, like Rashi says, the 70 Zakenim, or Toisus Elohim, refers to mumchen, experts who have smicha, and it is only to them that you can give over these dinim. And that's why Abaya was saying to Rabbi Yosef, using force by a get is one of those dinim that should only be done by mumchen, and we're hedyoytis here in Bavel, and therefore, how do you do it? Before we see what Rabbi Yosef answered Abaya, it's important to speak out the Mechaber in Chayshe Mishpat Simen Chavov Seif Aleph, that the Mechaber says, V'chol abol idem b'fneiem harezer Russia. The Mechaber used a very strong language for anyone who takes a case that should be brought to a Jewish bezdin and brings it into a secular court. He's called a Russia. U'ki'ilu chiref v'gidef. V'heirim b'toiras yad b'toiras Moshe Rabbeinu olav shalom. And it's as if he blasphemed and he lifted up his hand against the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, as the Sma here explains in Sif Katan Dalid, because since he left over what the Jewish courts would have paskened, and he went to the Gentile, the secular court, Mara ki'ilu toiras Moshe Rabbeinu olav shalom u'mishpatav. It's as if he's saying that they're not true. I want to go to the true secular court. And therefore, A person should be very careful in this halacha. He should go to a Jewish court, and only when the Jewish court gives him the authority, because the other litigant is not listening to what the Beis Din paskin, and the only way that he will, let's say, get his money is if he goes to secular court, and the Jewish court authorizes him to go, or like we had in our Mishnah, where he's not listening to Beis Din, and the Jewish Beis Din is using the secular court as a stick to force him to beat up his Yetzer Hara and to listen what his inner neshama really wants to do, as the Rambam explained, then you're allowed to go to a secular court. But to go straight to a secular court without authority from the Beis Din, without authorization, is prohibited, and a person should be very careful about this halacha. Now, what does Rabbi Yosef answer to Abaye's question? How can we, in fact, force gittin when we are hejoitis, and we learned lufneim v'loy lufnei hejoitis or malay anan shlichas sayu kavdinu. We are doing the shlichas of the Beis Din in Eretz Yisrael. Midi dahava haidos v'avoyis, just like we, even though we're hejoitis, we're allowed to paskin the din in Bavel for cases which involve where Reuven admitted to Shimon that he owes him money, or Reuven lent money from, borrowed money from Shimon. So in those cases, we're allowed to paskin, even though normally you need mumchen. But as the Gemara explains in Masech the Sanhedrin, Shalitinol Dalas Bnei Lovin, that if the Beis Din in Bavel would not be able to adjudicate those cases, so people wouldn't want to lend money because they'd be afraid, in case I have a problem getting the money back, I have to travel to Eretz Yisrael, and here in Bavel I can't get a remedy in the court, in the Beis Din. So what do I have to lend money for? I might run into problems. So therefore, they permitted the hejoitis in Bavel as a shliach of the Beis Din of Mumchen in Eretz Yisrael to adjudicate the case. So the Gemara asks the question, Yehoch Yigzeyos Chavos Nami, why is the din that matters of gzeil, of stealing, or torts, damages, there the halacha is that the Beis Din in Bavel cannot paskin? Why can't they be the shliach of the Beis Din there? It's a shrol. So the Gemara answers, ki avdin shlichus ta'ayu, when do we do the shlichus of the Beis Din there? It's a shrol b'milsa shchich, in things that are shchiach. As Rashi says, in our case of gittin, that would be a case as well. And the Chachamim would want the Beis Din in Chutz La'aretz to take care of gittin, because or else women would be afraid to marry in case they have a problem and they have to, they are supposed to get a get, al pi Torah, and I have to travel to Eretz Yisrael to get the get, so they may not want to get married. So therefore, just like by Halvos, we are a shliach of the Beis Din Eretz Yisrael, so to linyan gittin, and that's a common thing. But by gezeilus chavolus, which are things that don't happen often, frequently, then we don't do their shlichas. The Rashba points out here that it comes out that we really have two sources for smicha. One source is the Gemara in Sanhedrin that learns it from Elohim, and the other source is Lifneim, which refers to the Shivim Zakenim. Tysus over here seems to say it's all one thing, that Lifneim is referring to the Elohim of Masech the Sanhedrin, of which is later in the Parsha Mishpatim. But according to Rashi, that he learns Lefneim is going on the Shivim Zakenim, then certainly it seems to be two Lamudim. And the Rashba answers that in Sanhedrin they're telling us that to be a Dayan, one has to be a Mumcha, a Samach, from Moshe Rabbeinu Ishmi Piyish. Here in our Gemara, we're using Lefneim for the specific halacha of force. When Beis Din has to force, and use a get meusa, a forced get, that power has to come from mumchem and musmachem as well, and that is learned according to Rashi from a different limit, according to our Gemara, of Lifneim, which refers to the 70 hadyotas that had smicha from Moshe Rabbeinu. The second bottom Tosfos here, Divrei Maaseh B'Milsa L'Shchicha, points out that Geirus is also something that we are allowed to do in Chutz La'aretz. It's also considered something Shchiach, and we do the shlichus of the B'nai Eretz Yisrael. The only question that Tosfos raises is that there is no mismachim b'zman hazeh in Eretz Yisrael, so how do we serve as messengers of the Bez in Eretz Yisrael when there are no mismachim b'zman hazeh in Eretz Yisrael? That became bottle. And Tosfos answers that when the Gemara says we are doing the shlichus of the Bez in Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't mean the present day Bez Din, but rather it means the old Bez Din. In olden times, when they had smicha, they authorized all future batei dinim, even when their smicha will be extinct and will have to wait till Mashiach to rejuvenate the old smicha in Eretz Yisrael. But the Rambam, there's a Rambam that says there's a pirush on the Rambam who brings down that if all the Chachmei Yisrael gather together, they can start the smicha again. But until that happens, there is no smicha. But yet we are doing the shlichas of the old Beis Din that still had smicha. Begins the next Mishnah. Yotze Shmo Be'ir Mekudeshes. If a rumor went out in the city that this woman was Mekudeshes, Harezu Mekudeshes, she's considered L'chumra, or Machmer, that she's Mekudeshes, and she's not allowed to marry anybody else until she gets a get. Megureshes. And Rashi says the Gemara's Havaman is that it's speaking about that she is married now to a Koyan, and a rumor goes out that she was married to somebody else and she received a get, and therefore she would be prohibited to her husband, the Koyan, Harezu Megureshes. So Rashi explains it doesn't mean Lakula, that she's Megureshes based on a Koyal alone, that she would be able to marry anybody in the world, but rather it means L'chumra, if she's married to a Kayan, that she would have to leave her husband the Kayan because she now becomes prohibited to the Kayan. When do we say that we, L'chumra, work on a Koyal, on a rumor that's coming out that she's Mekudeshes or Megureshes? That's only if there's no Amasla. There's no mitigating factor. But if there's a mitigating factor to destroy the coil, then we do not go after the coil. Ezui Amasla asked the Mishnah, what is considered an Amasla, a mitigating factor? The Mishnah gives two examples. Girish Ishplanius Ishtayel Tanai. If we found out that the rumor says that this man divorced his wife on a condition. So we don't know if the condition was kept or not. Therefore, we say that since it's only a rumor, we will assume the condition was not kept, and therefore we do not validate the rumor. Or another, a masla, is Zorg La Kedushin. He threw Kedushin to her. Safek Harv Lo, we don't know if it reached her, Safek Harv Loi, or it still stayed in his Rishus, or did it get in her Rishus and she was Kainit. Zuhi Amasla. Let's say she has Arbamas and he has Arbamas and it fell right in the middle. We're not sure if she was kainet or not. So this is a mitigating factor since it's a coil which has a defect in it because it has a suffix attached to it. Therefore, we will not give credence to the coil. And Rashi says, even though we had a case of Tnai by Get and we had a case of suffix Harv Loi, suffix Harv Law by Kedushin, the reverse is also true. If there was a Kedushin al Tanai, then that's an Amasla, because we don't know if the Tanai, the condition was kept, and therefore it will not be a Kedushin. If it was a Get, which was Safek Harv Loi, Safek Harv Loi, that's also an Amasla, and in Mela it will invalidate the validity of the rumor that she was in fact Megureshes. The Mishnah just gave one example by Get and one by Kedushin, but the reverse is also true in both cases. If there's a Tanai, in both cases, if it's Safek Harv Loi, Safek Harv Loi, that is considered a valid Amasla, and therefore we will not say give credence to the Koil.